The first thing we'll be looking at this morning is praying that we seize the opportunity. In Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 3, "Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves.'" The next reading will be Matthew, the 28th chapter, 19 through 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The last reading I'll have is Mark, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 20. "They came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes, where he got out of the boat. Immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him, and he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken into pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And shouting with a loud voice, he said, 'What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, my God, do not torment me.' For he had been saying to him, 'Come out of the,'" this is Jesus talking, "'come out of the man, you unclean spirit.' And he was asking him, 'What is your name?' And he said to him, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he began to implore him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountain. The demons implored him, saying, 'Send us into the swine so that we may enter them.' Jesus gave them permission, and coming out of the unclean spirits, entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. Their herdsmen ran away and reported it to the city, in the city and the country. And the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion. And they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine. And they began to implore him to leave their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but he said to him, 'Go home to your people and report them that great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you.' And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed."
If you bow with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come this morning thinking about prayer. We're thinking about you. We're thinking about our salvation that you have provided through your Son. We think about the greatness that we have tasted through your salvation, the greatness of your love, the greatness of your mercy, and the greatness of the path that you have given us to walk as Christ has walked. And we realize that that path is a path to salvation and to eternal life. Since we have tasted that true gift, we have a desire within us to spread that message. We just pray that you help grow this desire and stoke in our fire and make it a little bit hotter, that we can go out and we have an urgency in our life to spread this gospel to this world. We see the people in this world that are lost and struggling, and we know that there is an answer for that. There is an answer through you and through your Son. And we just pray that we have open eyes, that we can see these opportunities. We have open ears, that we can hear the opportunities in front of us, but most of all, we have the willingness of our feet to move and to work and to spread this gospel so that your kingdom can be grown for your glory only. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by the appearing of his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Nehemiah 2:18. I told them how the hand of God, my God, had been favorable to me, and also about the king's word which had been spoken to me. And then they said, let us arise and build. So they put their hands to the good work. Nehemiah 4:6. So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. 1 Corinthians 3:5-7. What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom have believed, even as the Lord has given opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither one of us who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth.
If you would, bow with me in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, help us as your disciples to do thy work. May we, as your servants, follow the paths that you have laid out for us. Strengthen our hands and our hearts and our minds, being diligent in our labor as we put our hands to work, so that through you, O God, our works might prosper. May we always be steadfast, immovable in our work, so that our work in the Lord may not be in vain. Let our faith, by our works, be shown to others, so that we may be a shining light unto the world, like unto the example given by our Lord and Savior. And as we are about to partake of the Lord's Supper, may we remember the great sacrifice that he made on the cross for us all. Renew our strength daily, O Lord, as we continue to labor until our Master comes. All these things we ask in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
The heading for this section will be praying that we won't be discouraged by opposition. Ephesians 3:13. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. Philippians 1:12-30. Now I want you to know, brethren, that as my circumstance have turned out greater for the progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in this flesh is necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Only conduct yourselves in the manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sakes, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you at this point of our service. Father, we ask that you continue to be with us and continue to bless us in the ways that you see fit. Father, one of the blessings that we ask for is that you will help us to have a positive outlook on life, to be able to stay positive even when rough times get in our way. Father, we just ask that we have the faith and the belief that we can look to you, that we will be able to turn to you and get the strength that we need to get through these hard times. Father, we just ask that you continue to bless us as always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Acts 4:16-22. Saying, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name." And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." When they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them, on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. For the man was more than 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Continuing in Acts chapter 4, verses 23-31. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, "O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness." Now, Acts chapter 8, verses 1-4. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death, and on that day a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word.
I'm going to read from Acts 13, verses 42 to 52. And I'm going to just continue to Acts 14, 1 through 7. Then I have another verse to read in 14. Acts 13, 42 through 52 and 14 through 1 through 7. As Paul and Barnabas was going out to the people, kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in grace of God. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It is necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it by and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles, for so the Lord has commanded us. I have placed you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many had been appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city, and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But as they shook off the dust of their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium, the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the Jews and some sided with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers, to mistreat and stone them, they became aware of it and fled the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and to the surrounding region. And there they continued to preach the gospel. Acts 14, 19 through 20. But the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, they got up and entered the city. The next day he went out with Barnabas to Derbe. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Let's enjoy this prayer together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we request protection from persecution, but that we not be discouraged when we are persecuted ourselves, and that no matter what, we will continue to proclaim the gospel whenever we are and wherever we are. Amen.
This section of our study is entitled, Praying That We May Speak the Whole Gospel. If you will turn with me the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, we'll read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we approved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother, tenderly caring for her own children, having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as to be not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witness, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behaved toward you, believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each other, one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you unto his own kingdom and glory. And then Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we'll read chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And this is when Paul was in prison. And pray on my behalf, the utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
The next reading will be from 2 Corinthians 1, 12 through 14. For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not only in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in this world, especially toward you. For we write nothing else to you than what we have read and understand, and I hope you will understand until the end, just as you partially did understand us, that we are your reason to be proud, and you also ours in the day of our Lord Jesus. Next verse will be 2 Corinthians 12, 14 through 2, 14 through 17, sorry. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests us through the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death, to the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many, peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Next verses will be 2 Corinthians 3:12-4:5. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently on the end of what was fading away, but in their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it was removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the word of God of this world was blinded by the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake.
Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 17 through verse 32. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you, among whom I went about preaching the kingdom, will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
Let us pray. Father, we ask that you be with us each time we go out and evangelize, and when the opportunity presents itself, or if we just go out ourselves and for the purpose of evangelizing and trying to help others to see your word. Father, we pray that you will always be with us and give us the knowledge and give us the courage that we will speak out in your name, that we will not turn to worldly things and worldly desires, but that we will only teach what comes from your word, that we will never add to, nor will we ever take away from anything that's in your word, but that we will teach the truth as it is written in your gospels. Father, we know this can be very frightening sometimes. We know that we can second guess ourselves, and we know that this is a thing that many of us are reluctant to do because we might misspeak, but we just ask that you give us the strength to do that. We ask that also, Father, that when we do come across those things we're not sure about, that we don't just make things up, but we turn to someone else who is more knowledgeable, on the subject than we are, that we study with them, and that then we can go back and teach those who are asking the questions and study with them and help them to see what you truly mean in your word, that we will all do only what you would have us to do, and that because of that, we would save, souls would be saved, that we will try to just water and feed as much as we can, but we know that only you can save. Father, we just be with you when we encounter these things. We be with, ask you to be with us each and every day, that we study fervently the Bible so that we will be ready for these things when they approach, when we are approached or fall upon these things, that only your word will be spoken truthfully. Father, we just thank you so much for your son who died for us so that all this is possible, that loved us so much, that he gave his life so that we may have our sins forgiven. And we know that all can have their sins forgiven no matter what, if through your word and through your blood. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The final request to be heard by God. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 will be our final scripture reading for today. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come before you now and we ask that you would hear our prayer. We ask that you would grant our requests that we've made of you today, that as we are given opportunities to share the message of the gospel, that you would give us the strength and the courage to seize that opportunity and to proclaim your word. And that when we are met with opposition in our efforts, we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us not to be discouraged or want to give up. Let us look for the positive that can come from our efforts of doing what we know you want us to do. Help us never to lose heart. Help us to remain steadfast in our desire to serve you and to share with others the message of salvation. And we ask, dear Lord, that when we have those opportunities, that when we seize those opportunities, that you would give us the strength and the wisdom to proclaim your whole word. Help us not to seek to please men. Help us to fight against the temptation to water down your word, to lower the bar. Help us to proclaim your whole truth. And we pray, dear Lord, that as we do those things, that you would help each of us as your disciples, not only to speak your truth, the whole truth, but that we would live it in our lives. We pray, Lord, that we will be able to be shining lights to those around us. And we understand and recognize that this is more than just proclaiming the right things, but it's living lives that are pleasing to you. And we pray, Lord, that you would help our lights to shine brightly to the world around us, so that more will come to you, so that more will be washed clean in the blood of your Son, so that more can be drawn into your family, so that you, dear Lord, can be glorified and honored as you deserve. We lift these prayers up to you. We ask you to hear them. In Christ's name, amen.